I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Listen to Your Heart After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Today we're covering episode 4 of 6. We are 2/3 done with this season. It's gone fast. But there was an episode of TV last night that we'll be talking about. There are 4 of us here today. We're so excited. It's your Bachelor panel, your OGs. Starting with me, guys, my name is Jeff Graham. Huge Bachelor super fan, and I have plenty of thoughts on tonight's episode. I'm going to go to the beautiful pink tank top wearing Rachel Swindler. you guys know Rachel is a big reality TV fan and a reality alum herself from season 20 of Big Brother. Rachel, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. I'm just running out of clothing to wear since I've been gone from LA for a month and a half. So this is what we're getting at this point.
It's athleisure wear, right?
Yes, because I'm going to work out right after this. So I put my tank top under this. So
there you go. I'm very impressed. I used to work out.
Christina
Alexis.
Wait, you're so busy now?
I know. Ironically, y'all know I produce for the network and grateful to have a job, but Brie can speak to this. I feel like I've never been professionally busier. But again, not complaining. Lucky to have a job. Speaking of jobs, our very own Christina Alexis does work for Perez Hilton. She's an insider on all things entertainment news and, of course, loves reality TV. Christina Alexis, how you
doing? What's up? You know, I'm hanging in there. I'm just over here still quarantined, trying not to lose my mind. The show is helping. Rachel, though, you're making me look bad right now because I feel like I need to hit the gym after seeing you.
Oh, but I have not been good. No,
I think you look beautiful. I'm digging the sweater. If any of you guys are listening to the podcast, hop on the YouTube. I am joined by 3 very attractive people and then me. Mike Feelings.
Christine's wearing a sweater?
Huh. You know, I too am running out of things to wear. Not because I've left anywhere, but just pure laundry purposes. And we're not going to get a summer, probably not a fall or a winter. So I got to throw this in the rotation. You know?
I mean, have fun. Jeff, I have been good. I ran my 3 miles today.
Nice.
Feeling great.
Well, Mike, I got to say, that beard is coming in nice, my man.
Yep. That's a boredom beard. It happens every once in a while. Yep. And then finally my wife gets angry and we shaved off.
Well, that is the voice of Mike Feeling. He is a reality TV super fan as well. Covers a ton of our reality TV stuff here. And we say he's our designated game master. So he's the one who's not only calculating the romance, but calculating the strategy here on Bachelor. Speaking of Bachelor, Listen to Your Heart did have an episode last night. Personally, I'm a little lukewarm on this one. Some things I really liked overall, maybe not my favorite. Did anyone love the episode? If so, I want you to go first.
I enjoyed the episode, but yeah. I was very frustrated by it. So I'm just enjoying the show in general. I honestly didn't think I was going to be super into it because I'm not really into American Idol and The Voice and the singing kind of competitions. I like this maybe because it's in our Bachelor world, but I was really disappointed with last night's episode.
Really? I didn't think it was that bad. I mean, I was heavily invested because it was like, you couldn't take your eyes off of this train wreck, and I just wanted to see it go all the way through.
It
was actually very satisfying, I would say, how it ended.
Clarify, I was disappointed with the people.
Okay.
I was thoroughly entertained by the whole Natasha throwing out that shade right before the performance.
Yes.
I said, okay, I knew this, she came to play. Can I just say, I will say what I don't like about what they do in the performances. I don't like that they keep cutting away from the performance so that I have to see Jamie cry. So I'm I'm over the cutaways. I was watching it with my boyfriend again last night. He's also a performer. And he said the same thing. He was like, why do they keep cutting away? I was enjoying that. So
there were a lot of cutaways this episode. I think even more than last week
before,
when Julia was narrating all her thoughts. I was like, God.
Yeah, exactly.
I appreciate what they're doing with that from a storytelling perspective. They're trying to use the music that these musicians are either creating or covering as B-roll and story to focus on other plots, sort of as interstitials. But I agree with you, Rachel. I'm not dying to hear about Jamie's nervousness before her show. I feel like in my mind, once we transition to that segment, I want to watch a music competition. And I think the producers are assuming we're still on the edge of our seat about the other stories. There's a little bit of an identity crisis. The show is still figuring out. And that's season one. You know, it's season one. So if the show continues, and yes, I will watch, I think it'll start to get its footing a little more with that stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
But that's a good point. I agree with you. Okay, let's start. I just love Chris Harrison comes in and makes these like weirdly vague ultimatums. And like, this is so quintessential Paradise. This is not quintessential to this show too, where he's like, again, like, if y'all aren't really in it, you gotta head home. And it's just like, what are you talking? Like, are you?
He sounds like a disappointed father. Like, you guys need to do better up there. We want better from you.
I just, I have this great, like, image that runs through, or movie that runs through my mind, where they're backstage or something, or they're sequestering or whatever, and the producers have to call Chris, and they're like, Chris, I don't think, you know, some of these couples are really here. And Chris just screams like, who is not listening to their hearts? I don't understand. I tell them every week to listen to their heart. I love that dude so much. I want his job so bad.
So many listen to your heart puns.
Yeah, I loved when he came in and he said, I'm sure that was really hard watching Danny go home. And I was like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
He's like said that at the beginning. That has nothing to do with any of this, but whatever.
You know what I said? I said, Danny?
What?
They're a memory at this point. Like, who?
Exactly. So remember they
Creepy Mike on the first night?
Oh, Creepy Mike. So they throw in this big wrench. We're going to really switch it up. Really intense dates. We're going to change things up. As we mentioned before, Aaron, this was very clearly a ploy to get Brandon and Julia in a room alone together. But to escalate the tension, we also have dates with Julia and Ryan. And who am I missing?
Chris.
Chris and Rudy.
Chris and Rudy.
Yeah, and Jamie and Ryan.
Thank you.
Why Chris? Why did they pick the strongest couple who are obviously super into each other to be like, let's just see. There's been never any indication that they might, at least Jamie went on a date with Ryan before, previously, right?
Because they wanted Natasha to be in the house with the two guys.
But that's not even when the drama really started, though.
True.
At least with Natasha.
I feel like they were trying to push some drama.
Yeah, I do too.
And I think it just failed. I think the way they set up those dates made it, that was like a really big producer gaffe. It was too obvious at that point.
Yep.
Like, if it was just Brandon and Julia and like maybe one other couple, I'd be like, okay, I might buy this, even though we still know it's about them. But Rudy and Chris, that was like, they sat on the lawn like 20 yards away. Like,
yeah,
that wasn't even a date. Like, that was a conversation.
Nothing had to be. So when they first showed Rudy and Chris, right? I thought, they're just kind of sequestering these three couples around the property and kind of forcing them to hang out and talk or whatever. It didn't have to be so different. Rudy and Chris got the real short end of the stick, and they arguably have the strongest relationships with their actual partners, right? So they almost got punished. They didn't get a spa day. They didn't get to go to this amazing music venue bar and create a song and all this other kind of stuff. There's no reason that it had to be so obvious. They could have mixed all the couples up while still getting Brandon together, right? And doing the real dirty work they wanted to do. But everybody could have gone on something fun. There's no reason it had to be so blatant.
The budget.
Yeah, the budget, exactly.
Definitely feel they got the budget for day. They don't come on.
They had a Trader Joe's charcuterie board. They were like, corners.
I do love binoculars.
I love a Trader Joe's charcuterie board, though.
I love their cheese, though. I'm not gonna lie. Shout out to Trader Joe's.
A TJ's wine and wine and cheese night. Nothing better. I kind of feel like they could have also done better on these pairings to actually spice it up. Like, I get to sing and grow my career, but I feel like if they would have paired her on like a sexy date with Matt, like that could have actually maybe been interesting.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah,
that's a good point.
That's so much better than having Rudy kind of spy on with the binoculars or whatever. Make him actually think about something.
Totally. I think of like The Bachelor loves like half naked spa dates and like showery type of things. And like, I don't know how I feel about that like personally, but I think Matt and Natasha feel like the kind of people who might have gotten caught up in that sort of lust over love.
To be honest, I don't even believe they went on that spa date because we didn't see it. And I feel like they put on robes and left. Like that was a producer, cut corners. They got a budget, guys. They
might have gone on the date, but it's just not interesting. They're into their other people. So who can't, what are they going to chit chat about? I don't know. Sports? Well, I don't know what they're into. Whatever.
Let's go ahead then and talk about the actual date that mattered. And this is opening up pretty much what's going to be our main conversation. So the door I'm opening up right now is anything related to Julia, Brandon, Savannah, Sheridan, Natasha. It's going to be fair game for this topic. And then we'll cover the performances last.
important part of the show.
Exactly. Mike, you are so right that like this date is a picnic. This date is going to the most famous theater in Los Angeles with Taylor Swift's songwriter. Brandon and Julia, I just don't find either of them likable enough for me to root for them.
They deserve each other, if you ask me.
Yes.
Like, they both have some real, real ugly qualities that came shining through.
I don't understand. I don't know. Someone argue against me, or guys, put in the chat, like, thanks so much for everybody hanging out with us. We see all you guys. Love seeing you back week after week. Thanks so much. I don't understand why Brandon isn't getting all the hate for this. This is all Brandon's fault. If Brandon never picked Savannah, if he picked Julia to start with, none of this drama would happen. It's him. Julia tells Sheridan to go home, and Brandon's still leading her on and still picks Savannah until Savannah says no. It's all this guy's fault. It's all about him.
Yeah, it was, all of this was so cringy. I mean, I'm not the biggest Julia fan, but I do have to say that, like, I've been on her social media today. I had to do I did Big Brother News Daily today, and she's getting death threats. She's having she's having a lot of backlash over this. And she even said, this is an interview she had with Lauren Zima, that yesterday or whatever day she did this interview was the first day she hadn't cried since the beginning of this. Mm-hmm. So I, from a reality TV person, you know, I know what that feels like. So, cause there were definitely days like that for me when you get backlash from people for things that you say. So I get that, but I hope that she, again, it's how you act afterwards that I think is the more important thing than how you acted in the moment. So I'm hopeful to see that she'll turn into, you know, who she's meant to be. And maybe if she's with Sheraton, if she, you know, they end up being together in the end, she'll turn into that better person because she's with him and he's amazing.
I agree. I think you bring such a unique perspective to this discussion too, especially because you were on reality TV. So it's definitely great to have that.
But yeah,
for the sake of the show, and I know we're just critiquing like what we saw on screen, I got to lay into them a little bit because really upset with how both Julia and Brandon handled it. Julia, for one, I felt like it was straight up crocodile tears. She wasn't actually even really crying. And she called Sheridan like mean when she was breaking up with him.
That was great.
That I couldn't hate her more in that moment. That really upset me. And then on Brandon's end, he was so immature and like crass with Savannah when he was talking to her as well.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, you have an attitude about you right now that I don't like. And I wanted to punch him in the face. Like, they both handled this so terribly. So bad.
We've seen him do that before, right? So that to Savannah when he was like, do you want to cry about this and go home?
Or are we gonna...
And it continues on, right? It's crazy. From the beginning of the episode, Julia is saying to Sheridan, I love what we have. It's so strong and all this kind of nonsense. I don't understand. People who go on this show, you've watched reality TV before. I know you've watched reality TV before. I almost guarantee each and every person here signed up to try to be on American Idol or something like that. No shade. It's just, I feel like that's just facts, right? Why does no one think of the optics afterwards? Mm-hmm. You're trying to have a career in music, singing these kind of beautiful songs and stuff, and you end up just looking really crummy. Like, as you know what I'm saying? There's no reason to treat Sheridan like that. There's a way to do it if you really are all confused and stuff like that. I give a little bit to her, but it's mostly for me to Brandon. If he wasn't playing around and playing these games, none of the other, you know, three or four people would be put in these awkward situations of having to do this stuff.
My whole thing is, I'll go ahead, Rachel, and then I'll hop in.
No. Oh, okay. I was just going to say, I mean, I about my heart fell. I started crying when Sheridan said, she says, I don't want to do this if you're just going to laugh at me. And then he says, I'm laughing so I don't cry. And I started crying. I the whole thing made me start crying. And then I'll go to Savannah and what she said. And Brandon's like, well, how do you want to feel? And she goes, I want to feel chosen. And then quote of the year, baby. Yeah. Quote of the year. I don't know. I mean, they both were such strong, beautiful individuals in both of those conversations. And like you said, Christine, 100% agree with you. The way that they, Julia and Brandon handled it was disgusting.
It was slimy.
My whole thing is that when you're breaking up with someone, you have no right to tell that person how they should behave. Mm-hmm. Like, it's if you're the one who's breaking up, you forego your right to them being nice or kind. You know, it's like, you're the one who's doing this, so you have to be okay with how they react. And both Julia and Brandon had the balls to be like, no, you shouldn't react this way. You should react this way. You don't get that privilege when you're dumping someone.
Julia wanted to be coddled. Girl.
Right.
No, please.
Julia is super attracted to Brandon. That's cool. I think from a straight physical perspective, she's not attracted to Sheridan, which is also cool. you don't have to be. Totally understand. But there's a right way and a wrong way to go about it. I was screaming at my TV pumped because when Sheridan got up and started to leave, I was like, yep, that's right. That's exactly what you do. Just bounce out. Goodbye. And just, no, but it, well, what do you want? Do you want him to tell you it's okay? That kind of stuff is so annoying to me. I'll toss this out too. My ultimate disappointment, however, for this episode is with Sheridan and Savannah. Because if I'm them, right? I'm Sheridan. I'm not leaving the mansion. I'm Savannah. I'm not leaving the mansion. I'm going right to the other one. And I'm saying, you bring Chris Harrison right here, right now. You want to kick us off this episode? No problem. But we're performing tonight together. Give us some heartbreak song and we're going to crush it in front of a dope crowd. The celebs are going to see us and love us. And we're going to make these other two look like idiots.
Totally. Easy to say, but God, when you're heartbroken like that, I don't know.
Man, they got on the show. Really, let's get a record deal. Let's go. Time to perform.
They were leave with their head held high, I guess.
Yeah.
Listen to your heart. Your heart is heartbroken. I gotta go home. If you listen to your head, you're like, ooh, game. But anyway.
Okay, Jeff, where were you gonna go? Because I want to talk about the earmuffs moment.
It was brutal. I was gonna quickly talk about just their time at the Roxy. Just quickly, do we like them together? Do we like them as singer? Like, I don't really either. I will say props to the producers for having them write a song that was like, can we explore this like forbidden love? What were the words again? I'm trying to find them.
I don't know how that the writer dude was chilling there. I would have been sweating like crazy. He had a beanie and a hoodie.
He looked stoned, if you ask me.
Rose-colored glasses. He was like, yo,
he was like, go. Y'all got a vibe going.
I love this guy.
Their song was I Might Be Wrong. It might be wrong, but I need your love. I sort of love that. And then Sheridan woefully playing the piano while they weren't there.
His song was great.
Oh my God.
It was like, I'm the nice guy, you are not. I never get what I want.
He actually released it. It's on Spotify now. He's making some money off of that
really
song.
He is really good.
He's melting hearts. Dude is going to have no problem. I mean, I feel like I say that about everybody, but after the quarantine or whatever, his DMs are going to go crazy.
Oh, yeah, it's called Coming Back. That's the song.
Yeah, I talked about that in BB News Daily, too.
Well, Christine, let's talk earmuffs. What do you got for us?
Well, so obviously Sheridan and Savannah are out, and then this is when Natasha starts to stir the pot. Like, this is where it really starts, not performance night. She kind of already planted the seed, you know, blatantly asking Brandon at the common area, like, hey, if Savannah had said, I want to like stick this out with you, would you have said yes to her? And this is what I want to ask you guys. Do you think Julia was really covering her ears in that moment?
No.
Because she was so upset later. And I was like, I mean, it was right next to you. You could read lips. Like, you could see what they were saying if you did say it in that moment. It was that I thought that whole thing was so strange to me.
Also, I would have whipped my head around and I said, what did you say?
Yeah, like, she seemed, you know, like kind of willfully ignorant, like not wanting to face the truth.
Yeah.
Girl. Uh-uh.
And I wanted to toss this because, again, I'm not a huge, I'm a Natasha fan for sure. I think that was kind of crummy to do, right? And maybe if what Jeff's talking about, producer plan and stuff, you kind of get it. And she's egging on the reality show aspect of it. That's kind of crummy. But again, this is Brandon's fault. He could have just said, no, 100%, I'm Julia. Instead, he said, yes. What good does that do you? She's gone. What possible good could that bring? If Brandon right there had said, no, I'm 100% about Julia, no earmuffs, like, Julia, I'm 100% about you, then you don't even get the drama behind, like, before the performance.
It's that's all his fault. It was, like, 100%.
He was listening to his heart, though.
Let's talk about it.
We see where I got him.
Let's talk about the Natasha, the Natasha Showgirls moment where right before they go on air, she drops a bomb.
Showgirls, wow, Jeff.
I have to credit. I did steal that from Vulture's recap from the show. So props to Vulture on that one. I'm not going to take credit. But what this felt like Natasha wouldn't, this wouldn't be a thing you just say. This feels like a thing you say if you're told to.
Yeah, I mean, we could, you know, we can ponder about it one way or the other. It's a crappy thing to say. It would seem odd. And I was, the reason why I was disappointed in her is because she doesn't need any of this stuff. I think she could win no problem without getting involved in any of this nonsense. So
that's what makes me believe it was kind of pushed by the producers, because Homegirl did not need any help in this competition. She might need it later in terms of like the chemistry with Ryan going the distance, but that has nothing to do with this. In terms of this, I think she was pushed to say it. I don't think she had a vendetta against her before that point, but I will say, I know it was messed up, but am I messed up for like really loving it? Like, loved to me, it. that was like drama. Oh my God, that was the best part. I was just like, cause they got all these great shots of Natasha just like looking off, like as things are playing off, and it was so cinematic and just like, I don't know. I loved it.
I'm such a hypocrite.
I feel terrible.
Because I always, and I'll let you talk in a sec, Rach, but I always am like, oh, this show is like overproduced and these moments happen. And I'm like, yes.
It was so good. It was so, because it was like, I kind of wanted Julia to get hers. That's why it was so satisfying.
Rach, what were you going to say?
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, yeah, it did feel a little pushed. But I did see a tweet from Julia yesterday saying that she does believe that she overreacted and that she was just trying, Natasha was just trying to be a good friend in the moment. That's what Julia did say. So who knows if she really thinks that, or she was just trying to, you know, cover herself and make herself look better to the masses. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, I agree with y'all. I enjoyed it. But as a coming from a performer standpoint, had somebody done that to me or told me my boyfriend was cheating on me or did something like that to me before I was about to go on stage, I'll never forget when I was in 12th grade, senior in high school, I was about to go perform on the show and my boyfriend broke up with me. I was in a school performance. My boyfriend broke up with me and I was like wailing, devastated. And like all my friends had told me about it. My boyfriend had broken up with me and they go to my boyfriend. They're like, why the hell would you do that before a performance? But like, it reminded me of that. Like,
what was the show, Rachel?
Did you slay it? Like what happened?
Oh, this is very embarrassing. It was Scrooge, the stingiest man in town. And I was playing Mrs. Cratchit.
Nice. Very important. So you probably were able to bring that negative. You were probably able to channel it.
I was. I don't remember exactly. I had like one solo, but I don't know if it was like I think it might have been a sad one. So
perfect.
Yeah, isn't Mrs. Cratchit nice?
I was very pissed off.
Bob Cratchit's wife, Tiny Tim's mom.
Pissed off that was my senior show, so I don't remember anything from that show.
It's all blacked out. Well, we're going to talk about all the performances one by one, but let's start with Natasha and Brandon's performance just because we're wrapping up that topic.
Ryan.
I'm sorry. What I meant Julia was, and thank you. Yes, they're all just these names.
Julia and Brandon. Okay, yeah. Oh my God, Jeff, ever since you pointed out his singing face, I just can't unsee it. Yeah. And it was like, it was disturbing. I'm sorry. I was
angry.
Like,
I don't love him as a singer.
Yeah, Brandon isn't, he's definitely not the best male singer in the competition. And also, I mean, I did agree. He was looking away a lot. He was looking to the side. You could tell he was visibly uncomfortable during his performance. This entire time, from the moment that Savannah has gone home, he has looked distraught. He's looked like he's over it. He looked like he wanted to go home. And in my opinion, he just threw in the towel during that performance.
But I don't think it's because he really likes Savannah. I think he just misses the options, personally.
To me, he always gives up a vibe of acting, and he's playing it up. So when they came off, and he's like, okay, well, let's talk about it. It doesn't feel authentic.
Oh, not at all. That is not phony. Feel authentic.
Yeah, yes. And just the performance, because of all the last-minute stuff, and the judges call it out right away. I'm glad we got the backstory because it looked like you guys were fighting or not connecting or things like that. And brutal. They didn't do, you know, even if we gave them the benefit of the doubt and they truly are completely, utterly in love with each other, right? They didn't put in the work. It's amazing he didn't know this song. She's only one of the most famous, you know, singers of all time. And this is
that
a really famous song.
Yeah.
They didn't put in the work to actually connect with each other on a relationshipy level once they decided to be together, let alone a performance and singing level, I think, back at the house.
They phoned it in. This could have been an opportunity to be like, this is our love.
This is not right. Exactly. We found it now.
I got to say, I agree with all of you, but I also just feel like, and I'm going to shade Brandon, but he's not one of my favorite people right now, but I think he's just not a great performer. Like, my whole thing with this was, I don't think he's a great performer. I feel like he's really throwing off the vibe of this because I think great musicians can fake it, a la Ryan and Natasha, who they're not, there's no romantic chemistry there, but they're turning it on as performers. I also think this song is really hard to make sexy. Like, I think they clearly got the worst song.
That's fair.
And I don't know. I just feel like there was a lot of chips stacked against them besides the fact that they were the central storyline here. And I think maybe Rachel Lindsay was told, if you're able to find some non-ideal flaws in this performance, let's make sure to highlight them. While I agree with the judges' comments, I'm sure the producers wanted this reaction.
Yeah.
They got it.
It wasn't great. It wasn't great. So
karaoke.
That was a harsh comment. Yeah. What?
That was rough.
Yeah.
That like, part, yeah, you got to feel a little... I feel a little bit bad for Julia. I think some of her angst was, instead of being thrown at Brandon, was thrown at other people throughout this and blah, blah, blah. But I think deep down, her heart's in the right place. I think this dude kind of played her. And that karaoke comment was devastating. I felt bad for her.
I mean, and you live and you learn. You live and you learn. I mean, we've all dated shitty freaking dudes. So,
yeah. Let's just go ahead and talk about it, and then we'll just cover the performances last. Do these rose ceremonies make sense to anyone yet?
Fast forwarded straight through it.
I know. They're very confusing.
Yeah, I knew they were going to get kicked off, so I just fast forwarded through to see them.
Brandon and Julia, were we surprised, or did that feel like it was coming?
No, it was not a surprise at all.
It was
just the fact that they were against Jamie and Trevor, which is the golden child of Listen to Your Heart right now. I'm like, no, this is going to be like, next week's going to be like redeeming week for Jamie and Trevor. But I don't know. Who knows?
It better, because while I think Brandon and Julia deserve to go home, there was something there for me that was not too upset if Jamie did. This is week 4 now of Jamie crying and like doubting herself and it's the same thing over and over again. And I respect, like, look, I cannot sing for the life of me. I get nerves and all the other kind of stuff, but I want to see something different. And if it's just going to be the same thing over again, I'm just kind of like, okay, oh, Jamie is going to perform, think she did bad and cry, and we got to watch Trevor console her again. It's the same thing.
I agree. That storyline is getting really tired. I actually really appreciated that the judges gave them a lot more heat this episode and really called it out there, because I feel like they also need to stop living in La La Land, even though the show is kind of like ushering them in that way. Like they have a 4-episode arc to get their stuff together while other people got the boot like so quickly. So it's kind of annoying. Like I like Jamie for, you know, all intents and purposes. I want to see like, what's the fire that got her into singing? Like, if you're really this shy girl who's insecure, like you're playing this older version of Taylor Swift, like step into the red Taylor Swift and the 19, you know, like give me the next version of you. I want to see you like come out of your shell, like please, or I'm really like just not interested.
I keep wondering if Trevor is like, oh, why did I pick the 21-year-old? Oh, here we go.
I mean, she also, during her performance, I felt like just a lot of unmotivated hand movements and gestures on his shoulder.
Yeah, what was that?
On like, his,
okay, that looks
on his
really
face.
Weird.
Yeah, there was like a moment where she put her hand on his shoulder and I was like, that didn't seem like motivated at all. And then as Toni Braxton said, her hair was above her face, so she was kind of turning the other way. And I agree with you, Christine. I want to see the passion behind her. I want to see why she's actually here, you know, instead of the little crying 21-year-old who's, you know, when she's sitting next to Julia and Natasha saying something, why do you have to say that to her at this moment? I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Sorry.
I do remember. I thought that was like, I was like, JB, stay out of this, girl.
I know. I was like, girl, don't put yourself in this. But yeah, I need more.
That hand actually, I don't know why, but it really frustrated me when she kept touching him. Because maybe this is just a performer thing. To me, that's your downstage hand and it blocks the entire audience from seeing what's going on. I'm like, why is she doing that? Why is it
downstage and
upstage? It wasn't even like a caress either. If you kept doing it, I could like, maybe get away with it, but it was like a plop.
Yeah.
And he just seemed so like, he didn't know what to do. It was so robotic and weird. I'm like, I know you guys have more chemistry than that. Can we get something?
Yeah. I don't doubt their chemistry.
Come on. Give us, show us.
That's what's interesting for me is we're spending a lot of time criticizing Jamie, and she's frustrating for me too, but Trevor was the weak link in this performance, I think. I thought Jamie was fine. I mean, her nerves really rode through, but she gave us something. She gave us something. Trevor really phoned this one in. And
that's fair, yeah.
I don't know. The judges noted that as well, and they're both good. I just don't believe Trevor is as all in on Jamie as Jamie is on Trevor.
I agree.
He's going to be emotionally cheating soon because now he's mentally checked out of the relationship.
I don't know. We didn't even talk about the judges. We're going to move into the performance section now. That can be our wrap on Jamie and Trevor for those. But fun to see Rachel and Brian, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Brian did great this episode.
Yeah, he didn't say anything.
Commentary.
He did great chilling with Toni Braxton on the side.
For sure. You know what, though? It's 2020. It's time that if we have a straight white male and a beautiful woman of color, she gets her voice in that one. I actually don't mind that.
Jeff, I want to applaud that.
Thank you. Rachel's also just great on a mic. You know, she's probably more naturally a host than Brian.
She'll give you the soundbite real quick.
She knows.
I love Rachel Lindsay.
I love her.
She's great. She's a pro. The thing is, Rachel's just a pro. Fun to see Toni Braxton, right?
Sure. I know I wanted more Toni moments. I loved her. I was like, oh, yes. I was with Natasha when she was having that moment of like, oh my God, Toni Braxton, because they have like such powerful voices. So that was cute.
And Andy Grammer. Cricket.
I mean, he was really nice. I would have enjoyed him as a judge because I actually thought he was pretty nice.
He was, he did.
I wish like I knew who he was.
He sings, it's good to be alive right about now. You saw that one?
Still don't know. No.
And then, it's cool. You gotta keep your head up.
He sings that song.
Your head up. Yeah.
If you Google him,
that would know.
Okay. Matt and Rudy are excellent.
Please, I bow down.
Yeah. Tennessee whiskey, yes.
I want anything Rudy does. Like, seriously, I will follow her on every platform. This girl, her voice,
I love them so much. They're great. She's super cool. I go back and forth. This is weird. Maybe my neuroses. I go back and forth with whether or not I want her to be more confident in herself or not. Because she has these little doubts, like she is obviously overtly, and she expresses it herself. My words are escaping me. Admittedly, jealous of like Natasha. She sees Natasha. Mm. She says, "That's a hot girl. I'm jealous of that." Rudy's gorgeous. She's really cool. I think she's hot, and she's extremely talented. So I wonder if some of that I have to prove myself makes her that much better. I don't know, because what she's doing performance wise is killing it for me. So I don't want her to lose any of that, but I want her to have the some more of the gumption and stuff, because she doesn't need to be jealous.
I hear what you're saying, but I think that Rudy is a professional, and I think that she knows that she's really fucking good. And so I think when she gets on stage, it's like any performer, she loses herself.
Yeah.
I feel like she loses herself. And I'm also going to applaud her on her. I turned over to my boyfriend. I was like, I can't. I was like, I can't do that.
They're great.
Killed it. They thought of, I've sung that song with my boyfriend before. They thought of different harmonies that I had never heard before, going up octaves. She was doing some really cool harmonies in the chorus. It was really nice.
She's great.
But you know what I'll say? She's obviously great, but Matt's very good too. And it's easy to sort of forget that, especially because a lot of times in a female-male dynamic, the male can tend to be sort of more the foundation support. He's got a great voice. I really like his voice. It's funny, he kind of presents as just like this basic guy, you know, like a little bit guy basic, but he's obviously a thoughtful performer. Like I want to give him that credit because they're great together.
They're great together. And to your point, Mike, I think whatever maybe physical insecurities Rudy may have, which I don't see why, because that girl just barely wears makeup and she still looks like so flawless.
Absolutely.
Besides the point. But I do think she has a very strong, great voice, and so does Natasha. And I kind of like, maybe they're keeping each other on their toes, because right now the competition to me is between them two. Like,
same.
So I want to see them like push each other to bring the best out of each other, even if it's not directly, even if it's just one professional to another. Like, okay, I need to be better than her. And I want to see them be better than each other. They're so good.
It's funny because on the show, they're both kind of whatever. Like, at first I was like, this Rudy girl, she seems a little nutso. Like, but as performers, they're totally winning me over. And that shows
super nutso.
Like, it shows what talent can do. Like, that's what makes the show interesting, which is why if they do a second season, I kind of want them to come out first as singers and talent and then as contestants, because it helps us form an idea of who they are before they're just random people in a house.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so instead of like limo entrances, like performances,
and I think so. Else, and then because then they can all like evaluate each other, not just based on what they see, but what they're hearing too.
That's true.
Also, like solo performances,
like night one. Just
that's
go.
Night one. Like they do a talent.
Yeah, show.
That's interesting.
Not like that weird guy who like sang his own song out of nowhere. Like,
oh hell, come on, yeah.
Brutal. Okay, let's talk about Bree and Chris singing "Lover." The judges loved it. The show wants us to love them on stage. I didn't love it as much as they did.
I just find them to be boring. I'm not getting, I feel, as much of their personality as I want to. I think that they're lovely and amazing and beautiful human beings, and them saying I love you on stage was absolutely gorgeous, and their connection is on fire. Yes, I agree. But would I necessarily pay money to go see them on a tour? Probably not.
Go ahead, Christine.
No, I mean, you made a really great point. The one thing I will give them credit for is that last week they got a lot of heat for like Bree turning away to the crowd. They were locked on each other this one. But to your point, Jeff, I kind of like lost it, because it's like it's either you're really in it with them or it's just you're just like watching it, and they're great, but they're kind of boring in the sense that they're like, we just know they're solid.
I think they're missing some star power. I think they're really, really talented. Mm-hmm. I'm disappointed so far again and again that Chris hasn't been able to really showcase his instrument capabilities on stage. They deserve to let this guy go nuts because he's extremely talented. They're missing some kind of star power. I don't know if they need some rock people to come in and just slap them with a makeover or something, or I want them to have more pizzazz or stage presence or something, because the vocal talents to me, and you three are way more better at this stuff than me, but to me and my tin ear, they're very, very talented, the instruments, everything, and they have an amazing connection with each other. So there's no reason why they shouldn't be excelling at this, and they are excelling at this competition, but they shouldn't be getting any of, I think, the negativity that we're seeing because of this star power thing.
They should take a cue. Go ahead, Jeff.
I was going to say, my whole thing is whenever you're performing covers, especially, it's all about interpretation. Like, you have to make choices to make it your own. Which Matt and Rudy did the best this week. Mm. They made specific choices, like, you know, Rudy was doing runs, Matt's doing some interesting stuff with his voice. And that was my issue, honestly, with a lot of the performances, especially tonight. I was a little more overwhelmed than night one. Was just there was no stylistic interpretation of these songs, which when you're performing covers, you have to do.
Sure.
And Bree and Chris weren't really making choices. They were just singing, which you need to bring more to me.
Yeah. They could take a cue from, like, I think Natasha and Ryan in terms of, like, how to create some sort of a shtick and kind of sell it and, like, lean into it, have this kind of singing persona together, because their relationship aside is great and we can see that the talent is there, but they need a stage identity and I don't think they have it yet.
Mm, yeah, totally.
True.
Speaking of Natasha and Ryan, the weirdest couple on the show who continues to kill it.
Yes, I agree. I want Natasha's dress. I commented on her Instagram. I said, we need dress details ASAP because I want that dress. So and I was watching a clip from her from The Voice too, and she was wearing that same dress on one of her clips from The Voice. So that's one of her stage dresses. So
did she make it on The Voice?
I'm not sure. I just saw a clip. She was on like The Voice Holland.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
But really, I mean, Ryan and Natasha, no connection love-wise, but musically, they are absolutely amazing and beautiful. So I would go see them. I feel like I would go see them perform before I'd go see Chris and Bree perform.
Mm-hmm. I actually thought, if I had one criticism, I thought Matt, one thing as a performer is if you step away and back up, sometimes that can read as insecurity. Mm. And
Ryan?
Yeah, thank you, Ryan. Yeah. Gosh, yeah. it's actually a habit. You guys know I performed on a ship and like did acapella and stuff in college. And I had a habit of being pretty shifty on stage. I can do that when I host too. And that can project as insecurity sometimes. Mm. So I'd like to see Ryan plant his feet a little more. So that's a very specific criticism I have.
Yeah.
Because Savannah's owning the stage right now.
Natasha. I don't, Jeff is fine. It's fine, Jeff. It's fine. I think they're great. I think Ryan is very talented, but I think Natasha is extremely talented and she is still performance after performance blowing him away a little bit. And I don't think it's warranted because I think he's great. So if he needs to rise up a little bit or she needs to just a little bit down or let him have some kind of more solo thing, I think they'll be better together because he's great.
That's a good point. They could find a way for him to like shine a little bit more. Right. Cause how are you going to compete with that boy? You can't, you just got to like support that, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Any last thoughts on the episode before we make our way out of here?
I'm excited to see where it goes. I mean, to me, this based on the beginning of this episode, it was really predictable. The end. Mm-hmm.
Have a prediction for next week.
Yes.
Before we get into predictions, I know y'all have been killing it on the AfterBuzz news game. Do we want to spend just 30 seconds talking about Peter, Kelly, Madison, all that, just as a quick news segment? Oh, you know what? I'm getting the note to start wrapping. So let's go ahead and cut that and just move into predictions.
Okay.
I'll kick it off since I said I had one. Yep. My prediction based off of the shocking preview that they're going to Vegas, I think that Chris and Bree are going to, I don't know if they're actually going to get married. That might be a little fake out, but I do think they might self-eliminate possibly, like really lean into like, you know, we found each other and we're going to walk away and kind of make this competition dwindle down even more.
Ooh, man. Everybody watching this show, if everybody watches me on Survivor, they know I hate quitters. Do not do that.
I know you would hate that.
I really hope not. My prediction for the long haul is that the final two is going to be Natasha, Ryan, and Matt and Rudy.
That's agreed.
Mm-hmm. My prediction last week came true when I said Savannah was going to go home.
Ooh, yeah.
So I will say that. Good job, Rachel. but my prediction for next week, I mean, we saw there was going to be some drama with, looks like Rudy, Natasha, and Matt. So when in Vegas, maybe something happened between Natasha and Matt. Maybe something happens between them on this next episode. So who knows?
Well, I predict we will be back next week here on the Listen to Your Heart After Show. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We see you all in the chat. Thanks so much for your comments. We'll make sure to shout some of you out next week. And in the meantime, stay safe. Wash your hands. Michael Thieling, where can they find you on the internets?
Yes, I'm going to give some shout-outs right now real quick. Trisha, Eric, Meredith, Spring, Flaky Gaming, Miss Brown Sugar, and Lawrence. We love you guys. My name is Mike Thieling. You find me everywhere at Mike Thieling.
Christine Bean.
What's up, guys? It's been so fun recapping this episode. Hit us up on Twitter. You can find me at Christine Bean, and hit me on IG at Christine I Alexis.
Rachel Swindler.
Hey, you can find me on Instagram at Rachel Swindler or on Twitter at Rachie Swin. It was great talking to you guys.
You guys can find me on Instagram at Jeffrey Crane Graham, and I'm going to say it. Every Monday through Thursday, our CEO and founder, Maria Menounos, does a daytime show called Better Together on her YouTube. It streams live to YouTube, IG, Facebook, and then we post clips on Twitter. It's really good. I feel like we're hitting our stride, and it's worth checking out. It's a feel-good empowerment show, and it's the kind of thing everyone could use right now. So some of the world's best experts in different areas of life, celebrities. We had Lala Kent on from Vanderpump today, so check it out. It's a lot of fun, and we'll see you there next week, guys. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.